Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week's episode is the founder of Mighty Able and a pea mum from Perth.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy. How are you going?
Hello, Kate. We're good. I'm good.
We are good and I am good.
We've come off the back of some busy times.
Busy. We're in the middle of busy.
Yeah.
I mean, which is no shock to anyone that has children that life could be busy, but we've done two live shows and we're recording the audiobook.
Oh, my goodness. 4 hours of listening to myself reading.
I think I did 5.5
yesterday. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a long time. Woo! You're like, fine.
You can't even, you don't even know if the book's any good. Like no. It just becomes sentences.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, can you read that one again? And
it's like, yep.
Yep. Okay, fine. But I really enjoyed reading it.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like because I wrote it. I just enjoyed being in a quiet room.
I know, a room by myself for 4 hours.
And yet they like put your phone on flight mode. Sure.
Oh, okay, no problem. Great. Go and have a lunch break? Okay.
No. It was actually really lovely.
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
Anyway, we have got a lovely guest with us today.
Yes.
Would you like to say hello and introduce yourself?
Hi. Yes, I would love to. Thank you so much for having me. My name's Emma and I am the proud mum to two beautiful boys, Mighty Mikey and little Tara Finn.
Great. Well, thank you for coming on our podcast. And let's get started with the questions.
Yep,
so,
okay.
Yep.
So do you have any music that really pumps you up in bad times or, you know, good times or helps you through?
Oh, music is life in our house. Mm. Mikey, our little boy, is a very big fan of music. And I guess the music that we're listening to bring us up in down times or to just, you know, make us happy is whatever he's into.
Yes.
And it is always hardcore. It is always loud. Louder, 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 mama. At the moment, Mikey's favourite song is Song 2 by Blur.
Oh.
Woohoo. Yeah.
Oh, as he cool. Like.
So little Finn's going woohoo in the background and Finn's going mama, woohoo, louder, louder.
Cute.
That is a good song to get you up.
Yeah, that is a good song.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, yep. We're pretty positive most of the time, so yep. We don't have too many bad times. Yep. But we're just always having dance parties. So yep. If it's loud, it's allowed in the house.
Oh, brilliant. And I think, you know, I don't know, if music calms a beast is what my husband used to say. So if the kids are feeling 100%. Out of sorts, then we'd put music on and change the mood.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. We always have music going. It's Mikey's passion. He's absolutely obsessed. Aww. So we love it. Always dancing, always laughing.
Gorgeous. Well, can you tell us, did you win any awards at school?
Oh, I wasn't a particularly academic student. Uh-huh. The only awards that I won were for sports. I was pretty into netball and I was pretty competitive. So.
Yeah, were you?
Yeah.
What position did you play?
Oh, I was one of those really bitchy defenders.
Get a bit of hip and shoulder in.
Yeah, you know it. I loved my netball. I still play it up until a few years ago. But
right.
How are your knees?
Not much time for that. I'm destroyed. Yeah. My whole body is – I've actually got arthritis. So,
yes.
It's no good for me these days.
No.
I have returned to the netball court. The listeners know done. That I play walking netball.
That's cool.
It's very cool. So
didn't know that was a thing.
It's a thing in Melbourne. It's a big thing.
Yep.
Me and the 70-year-olds, we have a great time. But, you know, I don't wet my pants because I don't have to run. But I know all the rules and they think I'm really good because I'm 44.
Amazing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so just watch out. If it comes to Perth.
Oh, I should.
It might be there.
It might be there. Cool. Have a look for it.
She sweats though.
Yeah, I sweat. I'm dripping with sweat.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. She's still very competitive.
I am a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's my problem.
I try to be nice. I know.
I'm very competitive.
Yeah. Okay, well, there you go. All right.
There you go. And the big question, why are you a P?
I am a P because I am mum to a beautiful little boy, Mikey, whose main diagnosis is quadriplegic cerebral palsy, mm-hmm. among other things.
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
And if we go back to your pregnancy with Mikey, was he born prematurely?
He was, yeah. He was born on my last day at work, right before I got to put my feet up and go on mat leave.
Really?
And I remember saying, if this baby comes early and I don't get to take a break, I'm going to be so annoyed.
Oh.
And he did. It was sort of midday, my last day of work, before leaving. Missed my farewell surprise party.
Oh.
And I just hadn't felt movement. And so I went into hospital and... Code blue emergency.
Really?
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty scary. So,
how many weeks were you?
I was 35 and 5.
Right.
So hitting 36 weeks on Sunday, I think it would have been. And I wasn't too worried because the week before I'd had a perfect scan.
Mm.
I had gestational diabetes, but it was well managed.
Mm.
Not a concern. And, yeah, perfect scan the week before. And so this week I was like, guys, I'll see you soon. I've just got to go get checked.
Mm.
And I popped in and I was monitored for quite some time and the trace wasn't great, but no one was making me too concerned. And then suddenly more and more people were coming in and they were trying to make this baby move. Oh. And I was like, oh, what's going on? Then suddenly my obstetrician was there and I was told he was just going to review everything remotely. And I was like, what are you doing here? And then put me on the bed and put the had a look at what was good. Put the fetal monitoring on, had a look at what was going on, and then quickly rolled me on my side and said, it's time to take this baby out. And I laughed at him.
Wow.
And said, oh, don't be silly. It's way too soon. Mm. But he luckily made the right decision. So it was go time. I was in the just outside the ward in the monitoring area and I had my pants being ripped off. I had spinal block prep. Let's go, let's go. It was just too late for anything more. No time for a spinal block. And I was being ripped out of the room on the bed. I was shaking on the bed.
Yes.
I was like, what is going on? My obstetrician's face was white.
Oh.
He was trying to pull the bed out of the room and I was still plugged in to, you know, have traces on and everything. And the nurses were saying, she's still plugged in.
Oh.
And he said, it's time to go. Wow. And I had rung my husband, and he works on boats a lot of the time. And I just said, hey, you're not on a boat or anything. I've just been getting monitored, just checking, all good. And then I said, oh, do I need to ring my husband? Yeah, it's time, ring him. And then while I was on the phone to him, the obstetrician was saying, he's not going to make it on time. I threw my phone in my handbag that was on the chair, and it was time to go. And I was, he ran me down the corridor, and the bed was banging into the walls as
I went.
He was frantic. I can laugh about it now, but it was obviously terrified.
No. Yes.
And then I went into this room with all these people, and there was no time for a spinal block, so I was just put under.
Put under. Yeah. Oh, goodness, Emma.
Which is, of course, the last thing you want when you're welcoming your baby into the world.
It's a loss.
So it was very, very scary. And my husband didn't make it on time. He arrived as I was in surgery. So the poor thing, I mean, I obviously can only see from my experience, but he also came in to, is my wife okay? And he hadn't even really asked about, you know, the baby. It was just like, gosh, is my wife okay? What's going on? And he wasn't getting told. He just got put in a room and wasn't really told much and just told it was too late to go in. And then these doors flew open and this little baby that was pretty blue was coming out, you know, pumping the oxygen. And they said, do you want to, you know, go with the baby, it's going to be quite confronting. And he was like, well, yeah. So I was asleep, so no point being with me. So he went along and needles, and I mean, I'm glad I didn't have to see all of that stuff happening in the NICU. And he just saw this little baby just turning blue and having seizures and not breathing and completely floppy. And and then suddenly I woke up and he was there, and I'm like, what are you doing here? I was very confused. I thought
what's going on?
I thought I felt like a kick or something, and I thought I was still pregnant when I woke up. It all just happened so fast. And he shoved this phone in my face of this baby that had, you know, CPAP and wires and tubes and everything. And I'm like, what? He's like, this is our baby. And at some point someone said boy, and I'm like, oh, we had a boy. Because we didn't know what we were having. And I looked down, and I'm like, oh, you've still got your work boots on. Like, what's going on? I was really confused, and I was obviously in and out. And, they started, and I was in a lot of pain.
Yeah, because you wouldn't have had the spinal block.
Yeah.
Which most seizure patients have.
You sort of come to, and then they've got to make sure you're okay, and then they start giving you medication. They're like, you've got to push this button. And I was like, I can't even push the button. Andrew, push the button for me. Give me the drugs.
Yes.
And so then I went up, you know, eventually went up to the ward, and I was like, where's my baby? I want to meet my baby. And he was born at 3:27 in the afternoon, and I met him at 9 that night because I had to be able to get in a wheelchair.
Yeah, did they wheel you around?
Yeah. So I just kept saying, and I was like, I want to breastfeed. I need a breastfeed.
All these things.
I just want to see my baby. Yeah. And I sort of felt like, you know, very detached.
Yes.
It was very, very peculiar. The staff were amazing, and my husband was incredible. And he was going down and, you know, splitting his time between us. And I went down and I went to the NICU, which, you know, I've never seen a place like this before. And there was my little baby, and he was little and just in a nappy on this, but, you know, with a CPAP on, I couldn't really see his face. And had all these tubes. I sort of said, can I touch him? Like, yes, but don't sort of tickle him, you know, just he's been through a lot. And then he turned blue, and then all these monitors beeped, and everyone came running, and he was just like a floppy rag doll. And they rubbed him, and nothing was happening. And I was just sitting there thinking, why aren't you making my baby breathe? What is, like, make him better? Why aren't you fixing this? So it was terrifying. Apparently when he was born, he was blue, and the doctors thought it was too late. But he fought, and he gosh, he is incredible. He's just like
Do they know so why that happened?
No.
They don't know.
No. So he had hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy as his diagnosis, so a lack of oxygen in the womb. when they asked me, you know, when I came to hospital, when did he last, you know, when did you last feel movement? I sort of went, oh gosh, I've just been at work. I've been, you know, training someone before I leave. When did you kick? Definitely last night. I think you kicked this morning.
Yeah.
I can't remember. And then I sort of just, you know, feel guilty. And,
yeah, of course.
So they said within the last 12 hours, you know, on his notes, because I couldn't really pinpoint it, which is pretty normal in that situation. So we don't know. It could have been the last hour, could have been the last three. Yeah. They said to me, my obstetrician said to me when I went for my review, it's up to you how much we sort of look into this, you know, as to what happened. It's, you know, some people want to go and have tests and do all of these things. And at the time I was like, I just want my baby to be okay.
Yes,
I know.
I don't care what happened. I just want him to be okay and I want him to survive.
Yeah.
He was a very sick little boy and... Then I went in marching into his office and said, test me for everything.
Yes.
I want to know what happened or else I could never have another child again.
Yes. That's what I was wondering.
And so I had mouth swabs and blood tests and my placenta was already sent to another hospital to be checked because they assumed an abruption at the start, but just got no answers.
Just one of those things.
Just one of those things. His case was actually put to a board of specialists and just... No one could come up with anything. The gestational diabetes was ruled out as, you know, causing any problems. Mm. So we'll never know. And I honestly don't really care. It's not ideal, but it's as I've sort of delved further into this journey and meet more families, it's just such a common scenario that people never get an answer.
No, that's right.
And then
and all
you
care about
have,
is your child's well.
It is. But did you have post-traumatic stress disorder after that?
Most definitely. Yeah. Mm. So I did seek some counselling because I just felt really lost and I cried a lot.
Yes.
I was upset. I was comparing, you know, my child and missing milestones. And we knew, so Mikey at 5 days old had an MRI and we were taken into this pediatrician's office and I was like, you know, he was progressing every day. He would suck on a dummy a couple of times.
Yeah.
And his reflexes would get better. And we were like, he's getting better. He's going to be out soon.
Yeah.
So he at midnight, sorry, I should mention, he got transferred to another hospital, to the children's hospital. So he was just too far away. It sucked. I was like, I can't even see him now.
Yeah,
and now you're taking him so far away.
You're in a hospital and he was in another one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cruel. And there was no room for us there, understandably. No. It's reserved for country families and things like that. And so we would have to drive over there. I went over with a catheter and a wheelchair the first day.
Goodness.
I was like, try and stop me.
I know.
And he was there for a good week. So he needed hypothermic cooling to reduce his brain activity and therefore reduce the chance of brain damage.
Yes.
And we just never thought brain damage was, you know, it wasn't on our radar.
No.
We were like, he's fine. He's progressing.
Yeah.
So we got taken by this pediatrician into this room. And on the way there, my heart sunk and I was like, why is he taking us to talk about this in private? And we sat down and all I remember is he said, your son has severe global brain damage and the walls closed in. My first question, which I'm embarrassed to admit, was will he be in a wheelchair? And I wailed. I ran out of that room and I wailed in the corridor. And that day I also got to hold him for the first time. So it was a very bittersweet day.
What a day.
It was a lot. It was a lot in a day.
Oh, yeah.
So we knew early on that we were told at that meeting that Mikey would likely have cerebral palsy. The severity would be unknown and we didn't know what that meant.
No, you don't.
So we were constantly on the lookout for things to go wrong.
How was he feeding?
Great, like a champ. He was actually a fat little thing.
Were you able to breastfeed or did you do formula?
So he didn't eat till he had finished being cooled and rewarmed. So about day five, he had some of my breast milk. So I was just expressing every 4 hours. I remember I'd sit up at night at the hospital and ring and check in. What's he doing? How's he doing? Has he opened his eyes today? And then he was great. He latched on and I think it was about just over a week I got to actually start breastfeeding him.
That's amazing.
And I was like, "What? Something's going right."
Yes, we'll take
milk
it.
Milk, and it was working.
Yes,
and I was like,
good on you.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And how long was he in hospital for?
He was in for, I think it was 5 weeks.
Right. Yeah.
So he got transferred back to hospital where he was born.
Yeah.
And just really monitored for some time.
Can you remember the day you brought him home?
Mm. Oh, I was terrified. So we had a mother crafting. We had a mother crafting night just outside the NICU in one of the rooms.
Yep.
And I remember I walked in and I was just waiting, you know, for today's the day, every day.
Yeah.
And then when it came, I was like,
oh, no.
No.
Yeah.
But where's the monitors? How do I know he's okay?
Yes.
And my husband was with me and I spent the night with my hand on him in his little bassinet next to me. And every time he made any noise, I was like, you know, he's not breathing. Oh, my God.
Yes.
I was terrified.
It's
so hard to take them home.
Yeah. It's terrifying.
It's terrifying, yeah.
But I just needed that night. And then when we went home, things were a bit better and we needed to be out of there.
Oh, yeah.
To be home as a family. And,
and start your life.
And people, for people to meet him. And,
yeah, that's right.
And were people helpful?
Yeah. I mean, I have some incredible friends and I don't know how much help anyone can be in that situation.
Did people make meals for you or
how
did they care for you?
We had some beautiful friends who made meals and dropped stuff at our door. And I had a gorgeous friend who made a little care package up and bring it to the hospital one day for me, and it had breast pads and chocolates and magazines and all sorts. And everyone just wanted to help and didn't know what to do or say. But the support was always there.
Did you make an announcement to people about his diagnosis, or how did you handle that?
My husband was really keen to share his arrival, and we shared it with our immediate friends and let them know that he, you know, was in hospital being monitored, and we really didn't know much at the time either. But I found it actually harder to tell other people that my son had brain damage because it upset them so much.
Yes.
So I was always protecting their feelings, worried about, you know, because people would cry and, I mean, I was emotional, so I couldn't deal with that.
I know.
Yeah.
And I didn't want people to, you know, think any less of him or us.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know, so we definitely were open about things, but it took me a bit of time to, because everyone said, oh, so he's out of NICU, so he's fine now.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then you feel like you're lying if you don't tell the truth, but then you're not ready to tell people. And
Yeah, it's a tricky one to navigate, especially, you know, brain damage was hard to wrap your mouth around, hard to say, hard to hear as a new parent. So, but, you know, we got there and we started just telling people everything as we learnt it, so they could be on board and on, you know, able to be there for us. And you know, I guess we started educating people right from the start, because our first question right from hospital was, what can we do? We met a physio who came to his little crib in NICU and showed us how to open up his little hands and stretch out his arms. And we have just sort of kept that level of sort of therapy up from day one. We just wanted to help him be the best person he could be, knowing from the start that his life would be, a bit more difficult in different ways.
Were you thrown into some early intervention then, or?
Oh, from the beginning. We were at the hospital 4 times a week. We had hydrotherapy. We had physiotherapy, speech therapy. We did it all, and I was researching all the time.
Were you?
Where do I go? Who's the best? I'll travel to the edge of the earth to find Mikey what he needs. And so we were, really active right from the get-go.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And when did you decide to have another baby?
Pretty much the day he was conceived. I said to my husband, okay, I'm ready. Let's do this or else tomorrow I might not want to. We always chatted, you know, I think you do that. You chat about how many kids you'd like to have. And we always sort of thought two was a good number because then we wouldn't be outnumbered. One each on holiday.
That's true. Smart. That's very smart. You'll be able to. Yep.
All those package deals are for you.
Two beds.
Two parents, two adults.
Yeah. But it was really hard. It was really hard. Because I didn't want to have a paranoid pregnancy. I loved being pregnant.
Yes.
I really enjoyed it. I didn't get too sick. I thought it was an incredible thing.
Mm.
And I didn't want to be paranoid.
Mm.
It's not that I didn't want another child with a disability. I just didn't know how much I could
cope with. Yeah, I understand.
And you don't want a birth like that. You don't want the fear.
I did not want that.
No. And so did they induce you early or did you have another cesarean?
I had another cesarean and that was part of the decision as well. I really wanted a natural birth.
Yep.
I guess I just wanted something normal.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to have another cesarean. Mm. And if I really pushed for it, I could have had a natural birth, but it just the safety of the child is paramount to us.
Yes.
So we had a planned cesarean. We were in there at 6 a.m. and I was white as a ghost and nervous as anything.
Yeah.
Everyone was so excited and I actually had one of my closest friends come and photograph the whole thing.
Aww.
And it's amazing. This little baby punching into the world. It's really cool. So it was a beautiful experience. We had the same obstetrician that delivered Mikey and he just made sure everything was perfect for us. Certain staff on we had the, you know, senior midwife who had supported me through all of my monitoring throughout pregnancy.
Yeah.
Because I went in for regular twice-weekly monitoring just to check. Which was just a nuisance.
But also comforting.
It was. But I actually surprised myself with how well I handled things. I do get very anxious.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you've always got a lot on your plate, so you've only got so much time to think about everything. So
that's true.
We got through it. And my husband's an incredible support. I've got beautiful people around me, especially my incredible families of children with disabilities.
Yes. Tell us all about them. How did you meet them? Where did you meet them?
So at about, I think Mikey was about 8 months when we did hydrotherapy at the hospital. There were maybe 6 or 8 of us in this little group and all our kids were within 6 months of age. And we used to go to the Calparin room, which is a parent support network at the hospital. And it was this tiny little room with a couch and Mikey would be due for lunch or something after swimming. So I'd go in and I'd feed him and this other mum would go in there with her son. And one day I was just craving people that got it.
Yep.
Yes, you know, craving interaction with people. And I just blurted out, "Do you drink wine?" And she said, "Yes." I was like, "Do you want to come for a wine sometime?"
Oh, good on you.
Oh, my God, I so would. Oh. And then I sort of said to some of the other mums, look, we often go and, you know, give our kids a bottle or food after swimming if you want to come along. And,
well done.
And so slowly a few more of us would go. And then one day at 11 in the morning, I think it was, all of these mums rocked up to my house. We sat on the floor.
Oh.
We all had children with cerebral palsy.
Yeah, and wow.
Two wore hearing aids, all but one had epilepsy.
Yep.
You know, some had, you know, feeding challenges and all had these different diagnoses. And we sat down and we went around the room and just talked about our pregnancies and our births, and we cried, we laughed, we drank wine in the middle of the day.
Yes.
And it was incredible. It changed my life.
Yes.
Absolutely. I stood there at Mikey's first birthday with these beautiful, you know, old and new friends.
Yeah.
And we all just were so grateful to have found one another.
Yes.
It's been a ride. Mikey's five now, and he's still got this beautiful network of friends. And these are, you know, these families are just incredible. Yeah,
I
could gush over them all day.
Well, good on you for opening up your home and instigating that, because some people can't. So well done.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been pretty out there, and I think. Yeah, I think that's just something that's really lacking is people need that.
Yeah.
Not everyone. I know that I'm really lucky to have been put with these people.
Yeah.
But not everyone gets that opportunity.
No, they don't.
So I just wish that every mum and dad would have that sort of support crew.
Yep.
Because it's lonely.
It's lonely.
It's isolating. It's scary.
Yep.
Very.
Mm. I think often of our amazing outback peas, or the peas living on big rural properties in Australia. And even with their typical children, there is no support. And it's really isolating for them. And I know they love podcasts. So, yeah, I often think of them and think, oh, that's a tough gig.
Yeah, I can't begin to imagine.
Mm.
You know, we've got friends that even just travel for, you know, a couple of hours to get to therapy.
Yes.
And, you know, they don't have the same option of, you know, selection of therapists and everything available, and then not to mention all the families where English is a second language.
Yeah. Yes,
that's right. You know,
still refugees. Such a stigma around disability.
Yes. Yeah, and,
huge.
I'm constantly, you know, talking to therapists and saying, just give them my number. Just
tell them to
reach out and come have a coffee.
Kind of
you know, I don't want people to be by themselves through this. It's so hard.
Yes,
and I think, as you guys know, when you get a little bit further down the track, you've you know, maybe you can offer some help or just be a support or put them in touch with the right person or company or whatever.
I think you can only do what you can only do in those early years, because so much is unfolding and you're getting to know your child. And then once they get older and you know them in the fullness of who they are, then that's where we're at, you know.
Yeah,
our kids were, 14 when we started the podcast. So yeah, we were much further down the track. We'd been through the school system. We sort of knew where we were at.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's so true. I think you're so wrapped up in just getting your head around.
Yeah, and which kinder are we going to go to, and how do we choose the school, and we've got to speak to aides, and we've got to, you know, go through NDIS, and we've got to do the school application and all of that stuff, you know. There's heaps, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot. It's a lot to navigate.
Can you tell us about how you started Mighty Able and when you started that?
Yeah, and what it is.
Yeah, and what it is.
Yeah, so Mighty Able is a little lovely business that I run. It is positive slogan T-shirts that celebrate all abilities.
Super cool.
So I started that when Mikey was about 18 months.
Wow.
And it was, I guess, for a few reasons. Firstly, I was getting into this journey of Mikey and his disability and supporting him and doing a lot of early intervention. And I met all of these incredible families, and the more, you know, people we met, the more we sort of opened our arms and scooped all these people into this, you know, sort of group of mighty mums. And I learned so much more about other kids and their disabilities, and these, despite being so small, these kids were so incredibly resilient and so brave.
Yes.
And it just was incredible watching them go through these surgeries and these challenges and, oh, hey, here's another diagnosis. Here, have epilepsy. Here, have this, have that.
That's right.
And these kids just defied the odds. I mean, Mikey shouldn't have survived, let alone be able to talk and go to a, you know, school like he does and just go to drum lessons, do all the amazing stuff that he does. And so I guess I just wanted to celebrate these kids. I wanted to say, hey, I see you, you're awesome and you're capable and you are valuable members of society. And I guess at that point I probably started to see a bit more of the exclusion. It became really, I guess, important to me that Mikey was treated just like any other five-year-old. And I started to see how in society that wasn't such a thing, and how there was just such a lack of education around disabilities. Even within my family, even looking at what I knew before having Nike, I was kind of embarrassed to admit that I just didn't know enough or do enough. You know, I wasn't a good ally for people with disabilities. And so I wanted to celebrate these kids, and I wanted to highlight and remind people that they deserve to be here. They are worthy. They contribute.
Awesome.
They, and then also just to use it as an opportunity to talk about different types of disabilities and learn more myself, and to educate, you know, the general public about how, what do? You know, if you see Mikey, what do? You say hi. You don't say, why are you in a wheelchair? You say, what's your name?
Yes.
You know, just sort of hopefully starting some conversations. So that's
how did you know where to start? Like, source the t-shirts, and how did you come up with all the slogans?
I just wing it. I just jump in. I'm one of those people that's really just a busy person. If my plate's not overflowing, then I'll just add something else to it, because I'm crazy. And so I just looked at sourcing t-shirts. I just did a lot of research. I had a look at what was out there, and I just felt like maybe Mikey wasn't very represented in the media. And so I thought, great, you know, I can have these beautiful models that can showcase how awesome they are. And the slogans just came naturally. I think it just came from a lot of our friends' kids, you know, looking at them and thinking about what they achieve and how they achieve it. And I had so much inspiration all around me, of, you know, just the being in this community and seeing all the stuff that goes on. Really? Sorry, that's probably not a great answer.
No, that is the answer. Yeah. I came across you through Emily Pryor, because she's a twin, and I'm friends with her mum. So I like the idea that I can see over there in Perth that there's lots of you supporting each other.
I think so. I think we have a pretty awesome crew over here.
Yeah, I think you do too.
We've got some really amazing advocates, some people with disabilities. Like, I don't know if you follow Robin as well, one of Emily's mentors. There's a lot of people over here that are speaking out and educating people. And I think there's an epic group of mums as well that are, you know, we can't, you know, I certainly can't speak on behalf of a person with a disability. I can only speak on behalf of parent, well, not even parents, as myself and my journey with my son. Right. And we do share Mikey's journey relatively publicly, and that was something I went back and forth with for quite a while. It's Mikey's story to tell. But at the same time, I think we have, you know, when I get messages from people saying, I really needed to read that, you know, I'm going through a really hard time and I'm really lonely.
And your son's just also beautiful, you know. And why shouldn't we see photos of him?
That's right.
Do you know what I mean? He's really cute. And we see photos of lots of other cute kids. So this is actually what life is like.
I like to share Mikey just doing normal stuff.
That's right. You know, he's gorgeous.
Like, oh, look, Mikey's, you know, doing his first concert. He's out. Oh, look, he's going to, you know, try football, or he's going to school and doing the running race with the other kids. And hopefully it makes people think, oh, you know, why shouldn't he do that? He should have the same equal opportunities as every other five-year-old. And I think that's what I hope that, you know, we've done by sharing Mikey's journey, is providing a bit of support to other people and just educating and hopefully reducing a bit of that stigma around disability and what it looks like and all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. And
so you've done the business for about 3 or 4 years, is that right?
Yeah. Look, I'd use the word done very loosely. On and off again.
Sorry. Well, that's the word. That's the wrong word I use.
You've created the business.
I think we're coming up to our fourth birthday. Because Mikey will be 6 in January. So my husband works away a significant portion of the year. So, look, we have our good seasons and our bad seasons.
Yes, of course, busier times.
We've just moved into our house and trying to make it as accessible as possible for Mikey. And that's a big job. And so I'm trying to be a bit kinder to myself.
Good on you.
I preach self, you know, self-love and self-care and all this stuff, and I don't practice it very well myself, but I'm pretty good at taking on too much, so I'm just trying to find a balance, but I love it. I find that this Mighty Able family that we've got, you know, these friends that we've made, these, you know, cyber friends, it's pretty cool.
It is cool.
And we're really invested in each other's journeys, whether they're in Spain or, you know, Queensland or right here in Perth. It's really awesome to share such a rewarding sort of amazing journey with everyone.
So have you got a Facebook page, did you say?
We're on Facebook and Instagram. As I said before, I felt very privileged to have such an incredible group of supportive families of children with disabilities. So we started sort of, you know, you'd meet someone at hospital and you'd meet another mum and you'd meet another mum and you'd be like, hey, come to this catch up. And it started getting a bit like, oh, have I invited everyone? I don't want anyone to miss out. There's this therapy program coming up and applications are due or hey, did you know about this grant? And I felt like, you know, I'd catch up for dinner with some of my friends and I'd be like, oh, you know, crap, we should have invited so-and-so. So I just set up a group on Facebook called Mighty Mums and there's almost 200 of us now.
Oh, beautiful.
The main thing we do is organize catch-ups and we go wild. It's it's pretty fun.
Mum's gone wild. Spring break.
Yeah, it's pretty much. It's really cool. We wanted something local just because there's a lot of like, hey, I'm really just stuck. Mikey's outgrown his Rift and Walker at the moment.
Yes.
NDIS, who knows? Yeah. Maybe we'll get one in 5 years.
Yeah.
So I've just got a secondhand loan piece from a friend that was sitting catching hobbits at their house. Hey, I've got some old Pedro boots. You know, who needs them? That sort of stuff. Yeah. And also, you know, hey, guys, I really want to take my child to the park. Where's a good local, you know, accessible park?
Oh, that's awesome.
And then also I'm having a shit day. I need somewhere to vent. Help me out. What do I do? Or I'm really anxious. I'm about to have my baby. My son can't walk or talk. How do you manage, you know, just all that sort of stuff. It's a place for sharing. It's a safe space to support each other. And it's become a really special place. Lovely. We've now got Mighty Dads.
Good on you.
Dads do get left behind a
bit. They do.
And it's just hard, I guess, to find the people to instigate.
Yes.
And they're always, you know, often the ones that are out working hard and missing out on all the stuff that's going on. So, so I think we're pretty lucky over here in Perth. We've got an awesome crew and some incredible therapists too that really help bring us together.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And so Mikey's at school now and is he at mainstream school?
Mikey's at mainstream school, yep. So we moved to a different area, so we moved schools, which was terrifying because we had it pretty good at his last school. It's even better now.
Great.
I mean, he's pretty easy to get along with. He's pretty lovable little chap, if you ask me. But I looked at schooling scary, you know, transitioning to school, as you guys would know. I looked at private schools. I looked at special ed units at schools, all of the different things. And, of course, people have opinions on where they think your child
sure
fits.
They sure do.
There was no two ways about it. For my husband and I, and even as therapists, Mikey needs to be a mainstream. He's got so much to say and wants to be involved. He loves school. Yeah. He asks for blue school every day, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. He wants to go every day. He's just at a point where he's learning names, so he's made some nice little friendships and he's the center of attention.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't have to worry about him being included.
No.
Yeah. I have to worry about him getting smothered.
Yeah, that's just true.
Early primary school.
That's the
so
beautiful
lovely.
Time.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Soak it up.
I don't know, you know, exactly. Soak it up. I know it won't be.
No, it might be.
He makes good friends. You know, friends stick together.
That's right.
Yeah, but I'm just saying kids at that age, they just see children.
Pretty universally.
Yes.
They all do a really lovely job.
And I know
job.
Some people get left out. I'm not making light of that.
No.
But it can be a really lovely time in your child's life.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. So we're lucky. We've moved to a smaller school and it's a really good fit for Mikey.
Yeah.
And how old's your younger son?
He is 18 months.
Oh, yeah, busy town.
He's the difficult one.
Yeah.
He's the dream. He tests me.
I know, because then you're up against typical development and you're like, wowza, I mean, I didn't know this was hard as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's – and I think the thing I didn't expect that I'd be so paranoid about is milestones. I mean, milestones were just thrown out the window a long time ago with Mikey. But with Finn, he's 18 months and not really walking. He can walk, but he chooses not to. And Mikey crawls, so he crawls.
Yeah, of course.
And they very much feed off each other and do – they're almost at the same sort of level.
Yes,
so
yes.
They do a lot of the same stuff. And it's challenging for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's – yeah, I guess I'm like to Mikey's physio, is there something wrong with him? Could you just check him over?
Yeah.
Check him over while you're doing Mikey's session.
Yeah. I did that with my third too. You just
– yeah.
I mean, you're coming after, so you might not know a sense of what is typical.
Mm.
Yeah, and exactly. I've only – Mikey's my first child. Yeah. So, I mean – yeah, it's I do sort of worry
of course.
A bit more than I maybe need to, but no, they've got a lovely little relationship. They're pretty it's good, it's healthy. It's, you know, slapping faces and pushing each other over and not sharing and all
good,
that.
Yeah, good. Yeah, we wouldn't want to hear anything else.
That's right. Good brothers.
They're learning conflict resolution, negotiation.
Oh, gorgeous. Oh,
that's great. And do you have anything that you would like to tell our beautiful
listeners?
Is
there anything we've missed that you want to tell the world?
Well, I more just want to say hats off to you two. I think what you do is incredible. I'm really grateful personally as a mum of a child with a disability that you guys do what you do. You're passionate. You're spreading an important message. You're sharing really important stories. And, yeah, as I love your podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so I just think
well,
that
everybody's
you need
story's
to
important.
Hear that.
That's right. Yeah.
Everybody's
story's
important. And we all need to hear them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and if we're just a little further along in the journey, we just want to encourage you and say you're doing an awesome job.
You are doing an awesome job.
And that's going to make me cry, but the more
I'm already Terry.
We have to do a better job, right? And so if we can give you a little bit of a boost in your day, then we're so proud about that. Okay?
That's amazing.
And just know that you're doing a really, really good job.
You are.
Yeah,
you
and are. We know that because we are that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
in our
we
own
know.
Ways.
Yeah.
In our own ways. Yeah.
We do know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah. And you're spreading that beautiful little message everywhere too.
Yeah.
So what a difference you're making in
people's
lives.
Yeah, you are. Congratulations.
I'm
proud of you.
I'm sure the peas will flood your website now.
Yeah, they sure will. You'll be like, wow, I'm going to make more t-shirts. awesome.
Thank you so much, ladies. Oh, you guys rock.
Show notes.
Wonderful. Well, keep going. That's what I used to tell myself if I was ever broken on the floor. Just get up, Mandy, and keep going.
Yep. Yep.
So,
all it takes is seeing that little smile. Hi, Mama.
Yeah.
I could have had 1 hour sleep, but
doesn't
matter.
I know.
Yep.
Puts me in a good mood. Yep.
Feed you and get you going. That's right.
Oh, coffee.
Just the best. Yep. All that love.
Yeah. Well, thank you. We will put all the links to everything in the show notes. And we'll spread the love and all the Perth people will
be sure
cheering
you on.
I'm
sure they all know you, but yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you so much.
We have lots of listeners in Perth.
We do. We have a lot of listeners in Perth.
Because our manager's like, you need to go to Perth. And we're like, yes, well, but also
do.
As we're
recording, we're back to masks.
Back to masks in Melbourne. So, you know, maybe once everyone's vaccinated.
Yes,
then
we will come over.
We will come.
Yeah, yep. We'd love to meet you in person.
Yes.
That would be amazing. I will take you out in the town.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Emma.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, Emma, wasn't she gorgeous?
Just so beautiful.
Yeah, lovely. It was great to meet her. I've been following her for a little while on Mighty Able, so it was lovely to meet her and hear more of her story.
Yeah, and I think what a person that went, you know what, I need people in my camp.
Yeah.
And I'll organise it. I'll have them all
to my house. I know.
Oh, I bet those women love her.
They're people joiners.
Yeah.
Some may say we have that gift
Some may
too,
say.
Right? Or perhaps I might say that about myself. But sometimes I can clearly see you need to meet that person. You need to meet that person.
Absolutely. And the power of inclusion.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and sometimes an early diagnosis can offer that, can't it?
That's right. Because I was talking to my sister-in-law and her son has just started high school. And she said, I can't make any friends. I said, you don't make friends in high school.
It's the last place.
It's junior school, kinder, daycare.
Yeah.
That's where you make friends.
Yeah,
so,
it's pretty hard in high school.
It's dump and
run. I
think
I've made one.
Yeah, I don't.
New friend.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So anyway, that is something good about early intervention.
Yeah, yeah, so good on you, Emma, doing great work. So everyone follow her.
Yep.
And cheer her on.
Mighty able.
Yeah.
Yeah, the peas will follow her. I know the peas have been following Gin in a Mug.
I know.
And it's given me so much joy to know that all
They're up to 5,000 downloads?
3,000.
Heaps. Heaps of downloads. You jumped in, people.
Yep. We love you. And, Sally will be thrilled.
Yes.
And she's going through a tough time.
She is.
So thank you for listening to her. I mean, obviously, she's easy to listen to. It's funny.
Yeah, she is. She's light she's and shade awesome. And all of
it. Yeah. We've got the same cry, I'm sure.
Oh, really?
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Reading the book. Did you say mine?
No, I just knew it would be the same. I was like, there's no way she isn't gonna say this.
Yeah. No, that was this week. Yeah.
So
it was really something to read it out loud.
Really?
Yeah.
Something.
I mean, I read one chapter out loud and read, but I thought I'll be better this time, but then I'd added in an extra bit. Oh, boy. I just sort of lost it.
So you'll definitely hear our voice crack. Like, we don't like, because you can't obviously do that.
No.
But you just.
I did it a few times.
Yeah, I reckon 3 times.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know if there's any more things coming up.
Yeah, because I kept saying to him, just you wait. And he's like, I nearly cried.
I know.
I was like, just you wait.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and he goes, I nearly cried at that.
Yeah.
And I said, I think I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, it's so different from writing it.
Yes.
And I do read it back when I'm writing it, but to actually read it and someone's listening, which obviously is what the audiobook is.
Yeah.
And that's the joy, I think, of the audiobook is it will sound just like someone sitting there listening. Like when he's done such a great job.
Yeah, and he's like, just pretend I'm a friend. Just talk to me like you're telling me the story.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then I'd change how I was doing it.
Yes. Because it's a little – you start to be a bit newsreader-y.
Really?
Like, I can hear today listening to the two peas. Then he's like, no,
stop.
He goes, I want a little bit more of Kate in this.
Yeah.
It's hard to know how to do it.
Oh, well, we've never done it before.
No.
But
it did make me cry. Like, and I just thought, this is so amazing. Like, I'm sitting in this little room, my glasses are fogging up and the tears, and I'm just keeping going.
I know.
You know how people always want to make you stop?
Yeah. Just let the tears drip.
Yeah, it was really, it was therapeutic. But anyway, of course we cried.
Yes, of course we did. And I laughed as well. And it was great seeing him laugh through the window.
So funny seeing him laugh. He was videoing me at one point. And he was like, this is cracking me up.
And then I realized the way I wrote. And so there was so many common themes of me writing with comma, 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 comma. And I said, does that illustrate the chaos? And he said, yes. Because basically every chapter I've got a run of things where I was like, and hospital, and therapy, and nana, and nana. And I must write that in every chapter.
Right.
So I was like, wow. And he goes, no, I get it.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. Oh, anyway, we could talk about it forever.
We will.
Okay, what about make a difference?
Okay, so my make a difference this week is that I've had a birthday, so I'm one step closer to the almighty 50.
Yes, you are.
But I didn't really want a high key birthday because apart from the fact that I'm saving myself for next year, we've just been overwhelmed.
Yes.
And I'm all the things of our own choosing. So don't feel like we're overwhelmed because of anything to do with our children.
No, it's been a busy time.
Yeah, and we've managed. We've got lists and diaries and, I've screwed up a few things. But
I bought
whiteout.
All the things that were crossed out and changed.
Because things beyond our control kept getting changed, right? So I was like, I don't even want presents, which is not like me.
I'm sorry.
I was like, no, because I just thought it's just something else that I have to do, which sounds terrible.
Yeah.
But I think after last year, number one daughter said to me, what do you really want? And I said, I really want to go out with you to a rooftop bar.
No.
I want to enjoy our city.
Experiences.
And I don't really want her to, why should she buy me things? She's trying to save up for her own life. I feel like I'm my mother. Well, saying, don't buy me anything, Kate.
But it is the truth.
It is the truth. Yeah. P friend Bryony, who Mandy sent birthday flowers to and sent them to herself, actually managed to send a present to me and I got it. And so she sent me these really funny oracle cards. I put one on our Instagram. You've probably seen a few by the time this episode comes out. And they're just hilarious. Like, they're supposed to, like, you know, tell your future, but it's like, you know, get off your fat ass. And they're really funny.
Oh,
so gorgeous. They made me laugh and they made a difference because it was nice to receive something present in the mail. Yeah. So really thank you, Bryony.
Yep. Good job, Bryony.
What about you?
I went away with my book club.
Ooh,
and so we have been doing this for probably the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years to go away down to our friend's house in Mount Martha. Obviously, we couldn't do it last year. So I finished, I was doing the book and then by about 1:30, I was starting to speed up. And he said, "You're really getting fast." And I was thinking, that's because I really want to go away. Anyway, and he's like, "You have a great time." I was like, "Thank you."
Yes, I will. Yeah.
Anyway, just even the drive down by myself.
Oh, I know.
It was just a moment. And just to spend time laughing with my friends.
Yep.
And one of my, as the Melbourne people know, one of my friends' mum died last week.
Yep.
On the same day as the Melbourne show.
Yes.
The Ringwood show. Yeah. And so it's, you know, we've really been supporting her.
Yes.
And it was just lovely to be with her.
Yes.
And just all have a bit of time together.
Yes.
And I felt like I got lovely time with nearly everyone.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. And
huge difference. Fills the cup, as they say.
It really does. And I think we sat down on the Saturday night and said, like, this is my favourite part when we all, we make soup.
Yeah.
And we had, like, we just, how much we missed last year.
Yeah, so much.
Yeah.
Yep, so much. That's what I mean. I just want to be with people.
Yeah.
I don't want things.
And they're like, "We can't wait for your book to come out." I'm like, "Really?"
Yep. You tell them I'll come talk and about talk that to in October. Yeah. And give you a special guest, Kate.
Yeah, I think it's down. October, baby. You're in. But then I'm like, what if, because they're my friends, they might be really frank.
No, well, or they'll be like, "It was great." It was great. It's not going to win any awards, but it was okay.
Oh, dear. That was so, anyway, that made a difference to me.
Yep. Okay, so my make a laugh was when I was recording the book, I sent a Snapchat to Buzz and Woody, right? So it's like a little tiny room with a glass panel and then you can see the guy with all
it. And he locked
you in. Yeah, he locked you in. He shuts the door.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, and then he lets you out.
Yeah.
So I sent it to him and he was watching it like on the school bus or whatever and he watched it and then I saw that it had been replayed. I don't know if you have Snapchat, but you can say so-and-so replayed your snap. I was like, "Oh, okay, Buzz." Anyway, he comes home and we're talking and it was number one daughter's birthday, so there was a lot going on and then he comes over to me and he goes, "I watched that Snapchat twice because in my heart I just wanted to know that you'd finally made it to Triple J."
Oh!
We all laughed. I know. It was beautiful. And he's like, and then I realized, no, she hasn't.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I said, "Mate, I'm never making it to Triple J.
I am
not the youth audience."
No.
So, but I'm thank sorry. You. But thanks for loving me enough to rewatch it and to go, "Was she at Triple J?"
Oh.
It was excited for me. And then he was like, "Ha ha, you didn't get to go."
No.
Yeah.
So. Production Ellie.
Yeah,
fun.
It's nearly like Triple J.
It's the best we're going to get. I'm going to play their country practice theme song on the piano.
Oh, yeah, they've got a big piano in the foyer.
And he goes, "We get people to play on it." I said, "The only thing I can play is a country practice."
Can't you play Fair Elise?
Oh, maybe. No, I can't.
Yeah.
Okay, my laugh was watching Love on the Spectrum.
Oh,
take my breath away. It made me laugh and cry.
I know.
But the moment that I laughed so loud was when one of the mums was saying to her son, who was about to go on a date as he's eating his dinner, "I really hope she likes chicken." Chicken, you know, like a crumb chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I just saw preach it. That's a P.
That's that sentence. That's everything.
A P.
That's the podcast.
I am watching the mums with an eagle eye. I'm like, "Look at you, beautiful P, mum. Look at you."
I know.
Oh.
I know.
It's just spine tingling.
Oh, it's so
beautiful.
And
Molly was saying, "He's like such and such at school. He's like him at school.
Yeah.
It was very cute.
Oh, it's beautiful.
We loved watching it.
Oh, it's just representation.
I know.
And yeah, it's really, really good.
I'm sure there's people that don't like it, but I loved watching those mums the most.
Yep,
I was
like it
too. Look at them. They're beautiful.
Yep, I like it too.
Oh, dear.
I really like it. I don't like when people like say, so when you go on a date, you need to do blah, blah. I just think when you go on a date, you can be who you are.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
I really, really, really liked the show.
Oh,
I really liked it. Yep.
Gosh, hope she likes chicken. It was just the best line.
So
just
beautiful.
Summed us all up.
Yes, so beautiful.
Gee.
Oh, well, thank you for listening to us, Peas.
Yes, thank
Please
you,
Peas. Rate and review.
Yep. Thank you to supporters.
Yeah, it's paying for the most beautiful booklets. They're out there. Some of them are out there. Some doctors took them at the live show.
Thank you.
If you go to our website, hopefully the thing's up there and you can work out how to get them. We just might need you to pay for postage if you live outside of Melbourne.
Yeah.
And if you live inside of Melbourne or within Melbourne and Mitchell Shire, you can maybe come and pick them up sometimes, right, from my warehouse. So, you know, because we didn't actually think about that, the fact that they're quite expensive to post.
No.
But, yes, we're going to get some to Angelise. So she will be able to organise the Sydney handouts. So, anyway.
Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello? Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.